Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're very excited about this particular Sunday morning. We're having a very special service this morning. Mona is going to be giving us an update and everything that is going on in the missions outreaches that we support. And we've got some special guest ministers here as well, too. Scott and Sue Bierman are here with their daughter, Megan, and they're going to be giving us some updates, too, on what's going on in their part of the world. They've a lot of times focus on that 10:40 window, and just really exciting stuff. And I'll tell you, these are days. You know, I like to say this too. It's easy in the days we live in right now to kind of get distracted and kind of caught up on what the enemy's doing. You know, you're almost hesitant to see that news page for the day because it's like, oh man, what new weirdness are we waking up to this morning? You know, but it's important, you know, that we realize that we're here to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and to realize God's doing stuff in the earth. And the thing that I'm excited about with this missions update is it's going to be a great just stirring up to see this is what God's doing. Yeah, the enemy's coming, but God is doing this, and God is moving, and God is having his way in the earth. And it's good to be reminded of that and stirred up. So we're going to just believe, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray everything that Mona has on her heart, Father, that Scott and Sue have on their hearts, Father, will just come forth, Lord, that it will just come out clear and just exactly what they want to say and how they want to say it. We just pray for an anointing and a grace upon each of them, Father, as they share their hearts and your heart, Father God, for the mission fields today. We just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and have Mona start us out this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Mona.
Woohoo! Mission Sunday. Woohoo! Let's see if we can get started here. Is my PowerPoint on? It's coming. Here we go. So I'd like to share with you, we didn't have an update in July, but that's okay. This particular room at the orphanage is actually a worship room that I was able to teach in the last time the team went. It was really wonderful. We were teaching the orphans how to listen to the Lord, how to come up with, you know, what is the Lord telling you? What words is the Lord giving you? And we were writing lyrics on a chalkboard. And then the kids were just closing their eyes and would start humming melodies. And then we were writing songs. We were writing worship songs in this room. And it was just so precious. The room was full of kids, and they, you know, after a couple of days, they thought, oh, I think maybe for some of the boys especially, oh, tennis might be more fun. So they went to the tennis court. But for the kids who stayed, we ended up writing 4 different worship songs, and we were actually able to present them to the rest of the orphanage on the last day before we left, and it was just so awesome. So this room right now is a computer room. And they've decided to homeschool all the kids at the orphanage instead of sending them to school. There are severe issues going on right now in that country, and they just felt that it was safer to keep them back and to teach like a homeschool environment. And through the work of the Lord, it was just amazing. One of the leaders put out a plea for computers because they had like 1 computer for 15 kids, and just like that, support came in, and they were able to find and get computers for every child. So all of the kids at the orphanage have the technology to be able to do their homework, and there is an appeal now for more funds to come in for the network orphanages that are there. So, okay, so that was the really good news. The unfortunate news is that COVID has infiltrated, but I was so encouraged with the post that they had on Facebook that they felt very, very strong about it. And the worst thing right now is that they couldn't smell. They're like, oh, it's been 4 days. I still can't smell. And, you know, the big I'm strong, the I'm strong emoji. And from what I can tell right now, it's several people in that worship room that became a computer room is now the quarantine room. So as people get sick, they're, let me see if I have another shot there. As people get sick, they're just having people just lay on those bunks in there, and they seem to be doing fine. So testing is still happening as people, the first symptoms seem to be losing the smell, so then they will go in there, and it seems to be under control. So that's really, really good. And they're disinfecting. And you know what's really interesting about this? I've got another shot here. This is a person I won't name. He's one of the original orphans, and he's one of the leaders now at the orphanage. And he's one of the individuals that keeps, you know, order in the court. So for kids who are acting up at school or behavioral things, even at the orphanage, he is the guy who does the discipline. So he has stepped up, and he's running the infirmary, and there actually is a small room there where they have medicines and vitamins and things like that. And, different than first world where we live, they have to find their own oxygen. And as oxygen is depleted, then they have to go have it refilled, and hopefully they can have it refilled. They have curfews there, so they can only go out at a certain time. There are food shortages right now. It's not an emergency or anything at the orphanage, but just keep continuing to pray for provision. You know, Jehovah Jireh, the God of he's our provider. And they've been so blessed, and God is faithful to them. And so he's taking care of it that way. And let me see if I've got another one. This is a sign at the orphanage. Victory is of the Lord. And they're just so strong, and they're from what I'm gathering from posts from different people is it is spreading even amongst some of the networks that we're working with. And but they're all very hopeful. So I'm just really encouraged with that. So in the Andaman Islands, they are in lockdown. All schools are locked down. They can go out just certain hours of the day for food. As far as I know, there is no COVID at the orphanage, and they are doing great work. There are some people there that came early on because they were going to be starting a Bible college. And if you might remember, they go out to all of these islands around Christmas time to evangelize, and it's just the most awesome thing. And people are getting saved, but there aren't any pastors there. So we are involved in the starting of church planting in the Andaman Islands, and there are these young people who are ready to study, but they can't technically study because all schools are closed. So believe me, it's happening anyway, because the Lord is faithful. And in Nepal, they are still ministering through food outreaches. COVID is just incredibly decimating the area where they're working, but you know they are out there anyway. And he's got his PPE on, and he's out there, and they're distributing food. See if I have another picture here. People are lined up. I mean, it's at this stage humanitarian relief, but I just had a text from him saying that three people were baptized yesterday, and people are being ministered to even as they're sick, and they're finding people are finding Jesus because they realize that there is no hope in any other God, you know. So they're putting their trust and hope in Jesus, and that is just an amazing ministry there too. There's just extreme poverty, but they're reaching the homeless, they're reaching people, it's not just slum kids anymore, not to diminish that, but there's so much unemployment, and because everything is shut down and there's no work, so there's no money for food, the food that we're able to provide is really becoming a source of sustenance for families all around Kathmandu, so it's really wonderful. So we would ask that you would continue to pray. In a very practical sense, we are providing food and their counseling. Probably, you know, in a way, ministering differently than they were before. Maybe is not as a, you know, up in front of a group of people evangelizing kind of thing, but it's one-to-one counseling the sick. And they're healing too, you know, and they believe in miracles and they're going after it. So it's just really, really awesome. So, and, you know, they're really encouraging the desperate. These are folks who, you know, they're told if they're sick, well, go get, find your own oxygen. You know, they're at the steps of the hospital. The clinics are full. Well, just go find your own oxygen. Well, these people, find your own oxygen. How are they supposed to do that? So, you know, in India, they're on Facebook trying to, they have little groups that are, you know, trying to connect people with a canister that's maybe a quarter full yet that they can hand that off so the next day they can get it refilled to pass them on. And it isn't like they have tubes coming out of it. They're just blowing the air at your face. So, you know, we're first world here, and we're looking at this going, oh, my goodness. But, you know, they are resilient people, and they have strong faith, too, you know. So we just got to really pray that their faith is encouraged and they're strong, and they find that place of peace even in the midst of that turmoil that they're going through as well. So let's see here. So support, of course, is needed. If you can give financially, that would be awesome. If you can, please continue to pray. We need miracles. Two of my three people have texted me and said, we need a miracle here because we just don't see in the flesh how this is going to work out. But we also know that in the midst of all of this, the ministry is going through. And, you know, praise God, the ministry is going through. So we just continue to pray for that. And if you want to support, you can write missions on a check and it will go 100% there. And you can designate an area, or we can just send it to Going Global, and they'll decide where it goes. So I just thank you so much for your attention today, and just continue to pray. The video that I put together before this service was too sensitive to show because I have faces of people we work with. So perhaps we can show it after if you're interested, but we would have to shut the live stream off. So anyway, so thank you for your attention today.
Praise God. We're so thankful for you, Mona, and all the work you do with the missions program. We're blessed, you know, to have right here in our door of life church in Door County, somebody with that heart connection and just helping us to be able to go and showing us as a body, too, how we can pray, support, and get behind this vision. So praise God. Amen. Well, we're also blessed to have Pastor Scott and Sue Bierman. They actually were our past. They pastored in the Milwaukee Delafield. I get those mixed up. Delafield. They pastored in the Delafield area for quite a few years down there, and they were our oversight pastors for the Rhema organization that we came out of. And so they're dear friends of ours for many years, and their daughter Megan is with them as well this morning, and we're just so excited to have them. And they also have just powerful hearts for missions, and we're just honored to be able to present them this morning. So God bless you guys. We just thank you, Pastor Scott and Sue. Thank you.
Bless you, sir. Well, good morning and hello again. It's good to be here in Door County. Such a beautiful time of year to be up here, and it's not so cold, and it's beautiful. It's kind of cold this morning, right? So we just really thoroughly enjoy coming up. And years ago, we came up and visited Pastor Ed and Julie, and their kids were so small, and our kids were small. And we just felt like we really connected with you guys and just really just love you guys. Your family, how they sang together, and of course with Jody and Dave, and it's such good worship here. And of course it's great to see the other kids now, Whitney and Abby, and so we feel a little bit like coming home, if that's okay to say. It's really, and you guys make us feel so comfortable and so welcome, and just love the church, love the heart, the spirit. I was looking at the website. Your mission is to take the gospel throughout the world, and not sure if that's the exact wording, but that's the heart of it, And, you know, I think that's the church. Amen. That's, in essence, the church. And so we're honored to be here on a Sunday morning, a part of your missions Sunday. And Mona's blessing, your husband, we just had such a good time with you guys yesterday as well. And it is important to have people in church that have such a heart for missions, that are an advocate for world missions and for peoples outside of your sphere of influence in this community. You could touch the whole world. And every church, I believe, is called to touch the whole world. And what a blessing. And so we have been looking forward to this. I trust the Holy Spirit has got something that's going to be quickened to your heart today, that God's going to spark something in you that connects you to kingdom purpose, because we are all called to kingdom purpose. Amen. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be even in the fivefold ministry to be connected to kingdom purpose. You are a believer, and you are a minister of reconciliation in this world. God will use you to impact this world. Amen. And so I want to stir you up in that way. And by way, I also just want to just bring you some reports too, of some things that are taking place that we get to be a part of. So Susan and Jeff, we are so thankful that you opened up your place to us, and we had such a wonderful time. I'd like to introduce you to my beautiful wife, Sue, and my wonderful wife, daughter, Megan. And that this is my mouth going without any control there. So my daughter Megan is here with us too. And so our son is actually coming up. He lives in Mexico, and he and his wife, and we haven't seen them since COVID, before COVID. So and we're looking forward to seeing them. So, but you know, God is moving in the world today. And he's working in places that we could not even imagine. You know, there are parts of the world today where you would not want to live. There's not a Bible. There's no Bible in their language. You know, there's 17,000 unique people groups in the world today. And out of those 17,000, there's an estimated 7,500 who are unreached. And when I mean unreached, I'm not just saying unevangelized. I'm actually saying a missions term, because unreached means that they're cut off from access to the gospel, which means they could live their whole life and not know another Christian, not even know a Christian, never hear the gospel, and slip on into eternity and never know that there is a Redeemer. And Jesus said these words, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And so for the mandate, it's like a starting gun at a race, is to go. And we're taking off and we're going. Amen. And the church, we're called to be goers. And if you're not a frontline goer, you can be a sender. Amen. You can be a prayer. Mark, you know, in Matthew 9, there, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, look into the harvest, for it is big, there's a lot of people, but there's very few laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers. How many of you can pray? If we can pray, we can hook up with that prayer and hook up with kingdom purpose. God will use you. Amen. So the first work of missions is prayer, but it's also the ongoing work of missions. Amen. And so this last year, we have some good news. You know, our focus as Bierman Ministries, Mission of Life, we were pastors. We moved to Colorado to land on my dad and mom's platform of ministry of missions that they had established after they had pastored for a number of years. And so they had relationships, networks, all kinds of things, connections in various parts of the world. And we were like, what can we do to steward these relationships? And we knew that God had some connections for us. He had relationship. He had people that we're going to connect with. You know that God always works in the kingdom through relationships. Amen. Isn't it interesting? God will meet your, he will answer your prayers usually through relationship. He'll connect you with somebody. And we're not an island, amen? We're no lone rangers, right? And so we got out there to Colorado, and we met this guy that was we didn't know who he was at the time, but he was an icon in missions world. He taught at Regent University. His name's Howard Fultz. And he had a ministry called AIMS, which is Accelerated International Mission Strategies. And we got with him, and we realized that there was a strategy that we could implement in nations like Nepal and Asia, the Middle East, the Eastern Balkan countries that we are going to, that are close to these unreached people groups. And so, you know, when we talk about 7,500 unique people groups, we're talking about 3 billion people in the world today. And so what we're seeing, though, is now there's a strategy. And one of the strategies is this. It's what we've embraced as a vision for our ministry. It's called empowering the church to take the gospel where it's never gone before. Now, the church is not just the church in the United States. The church is a church wherever you find somebody who names the name of Christ. Amen. Where two or three are gathered. So that could be in India. That could be in Nepal. That could be, you know, that could be in the Middle East. And Iran, you know, there's so many places now where there are believers that are actually embracing this. They're expanding the kingdom of God like we've never seen in the earth before. Amen. The harvest truly is ready and it is coming in. Amen. So briefly, I just want to just share this. I'm going to show you a video. How many of you have never seen us before? Can I see your hands? Okay, there's a lot of you. Okay, so this is an introduction. It's like, who is this guy? Who are these people? So I do want to show you just a video that just kind of gives you a little bit of sight and sound of what we do. Of course, this video is going to be mostly Nepal, but we do other stuff in some other nations as well. But just this last year, we have been training Nepalis to locate unreached people groups in the nation of Nepal. Nepal has over 260 people groups. Can you imagine that? They speak 100 different languages. So like if you're a missionary, you're like, how are we going to do this? But if we can empower the nationals to do this, they can do it. Amen? And so we've been getting with just hundreds of pastors and leaders and missionaries, and we've been training them about strategic missions, how to find unreached people groups in your nation. And you go. It's your God, it's your Great Commission. Yeah. You go. Your churches, you take up offerings. Yeah. You give. And you know, they're connected then in the laws of sowing and reaping with a kingdom purpose. Yeah. Amen. And we're seeing people become prosperous and blessed. And they're sending people into these areas of the of Nepal that have never heard the gospel and peoples. Amen? So last year, we got a report that our team, the guys that are connected, and they're teaching other people, so it's expanding. They were able to plant 33 churches in Nepal. And that was with COVID. Amen? And that was with no international travel. We couldn't go there. I can't take any credit for it as an American. No, can't do it. But it's the gospel. Amen? And it's the power of the gospel on the lips of the Nepali people and their discipling. Amen? Churches are so important that we plant churches because that's the vehicle of discipleship. People need a pastor. They need a church. They need something like this that they can get together. They can worship. And that they can learn how to follow Christ. Amen. Matthew 28, 18. You know, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation and making teaching them to observe everything that I've taught you. Jesus said this. He said, teach them how to follow me. And so that's the church. Amen. So there's the proclamation of the gospel, go into all the world and preach. But then there's also go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. And so we need both. We need both happening. Amen. But the proclamation of the gospel is so important that we just share the gospel. Amen. So 33 churches were planted, and then just about 2 months, was it 2 months ago? No, it was just, at the 2 months ago. I got to go to Turkey. Yeah, I got to finally travel, and you know, I had to produce a negative COVID test, and so then I was able to go to Turkey, and we've been there a couple times, connected with Turkish people, missionaries, different ones, and you know, Turkey has been known as the least evangelized nation in the world. It's a very tough place. It's very hard. Muslims can be very closed. And should I use a different mic? Is that, we'll see. So it's very closed. And a Muslim, if they hear the gospel, sometimes they won't, they have to think about it. They have to, sometimes missionaries that have been in Muslim countries, it's taken them a long time to see fruit. It's just kind of the spiritual climate, the soil that is there. Well, things are changing. And so this last trip in Turkey, I met up with some Iranian refugees, Christians, and their house church over Easter. And you know how it is in missions is they'll tell you that you're preaching like 5 minutes before. So they said, oh, you're preaching the Easter service. And I was like, oh, okay, all right. The resurrection will preach, right? And but what was cool was that they zoomed in 200 people from Iran to watch the service. And there were some other people in different in Europe and Turkey. But all of a sudden, you know, that message just got like expanded. It was so cool. And there was a lady who gave her heart to the Lord that day. And we were able to baptize two people in a bathtub afterwards. So precious, precious people. The Iranians are, you know, if you're in Iran and you're a Christian, the government is very threatened by you. They're threatened by Christianity. They are afraid of Christianity, so they want to squash it. They want to take it out. And so what they'll do is they'll begin to persecute people. And what I mean by that is they'll say, hey, you need to renounce your faith right now in Christ, and we'll give you a little time. And if you don't, they come back later and you haven't, they'll put you in jail. And then what happens in jail is they put more pressure, which is torture. And we hear things. And listen, if they don't renounce after that, they'll kill people. They'll either imprison for a long, 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 long time, or they'll kill them. And it's just the regime that's there. It's very, very difficult to be a Christian. However, Iran is probably the fastest growing church right now, has the fastest growing church in the world. And, you know, through persecution, times of persecution, the church thrives. Amen? And so, praise God. Aren't you thankful for that? Isn't that awesome? So, you know, one of the things that we saw was that there was, with these Iranians that we were with, they were mobilizing in Istanbul, in Antalya, and some other cities, Adana, I think is how you say it. And they were passing out New Testaments in Farsi. And they, on the trip that we were in, they passed out 1,000 New Testaments to Iranian tourists who are in Istanbul. Amen. So the word of God is greatly multiplying. Amen. And they had about 18 salvations, which doesn't sound like a big number with that, but that is a big number of people who've decided and prayed to receive Christ as their Lord right on the streets of Istanbul. This last year, or this last month, actually just probably, it was just this earlier this week, Mohammed, who's a friend of ours, who's an Iranian, he just called me up. He was so excited. He got back. He said they passed out 2,000. Bibles in Istanbul, and they had 32 salvations, Iranians. And he said, this is time of harvest. He said, Iranians were coming up to them and saying, I've been hearing about Jesus. How can I follow him? How can I accept Jesus? So, you know, it is, he goes, what? I've never seen this. He's Iranian who had to flee. I ran, and he goes, I've never seen this kind of openness. And so, you know, we may be inundated with a whole lot of negative stuff going on, but we need to realize that the kingdom of God is thriving. It's growing. There is something that is in you that is greater than this world. Amen. And there's nothing any political party can do about it. They can't hold back God's plan. Amen. And you know what? We need to get right in the middle of God's plan. Amen. We need to be a part of what God is doing. Be a part of the church. Amen. Be a part of God's plan and be seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. All right. Let me show a video. And this will just kind of give you an idea of what we do. So we have a few things back at this table. If you're interested in maybe connecting with us, we covet your prayers. And also we do have an orphanage there as well. There's some information in the back if you would like to just know more about that and connect with us. Also, we have a brochure that kind of just, if you put this someplace where you pray. We would really appreciate that, and maybe the Lord would direct you sometime to be praying for us, particularly, and the people that we're connected with. You know, we are able to network the church around the world together, which I think is going to be happening more and more, not only through finances, through prayer, through resource, through a lot of different ways. Amen? And so we're really interested, you know, just like Mona mentioned, you know, I'm thankful you got such a great heart in-house right here, and you guys are supporting us. We are very thankful for your monthly support. So there is a harvest. There's fruit that you have. That as we're connecting this, as these Nepali guys are planting church, you're connected with that, and so we're There is a thing about the body of Christ that we're all kind of connected, and every joint is supplying. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the first chapter. I just want to tell you how important you are, because you are carriers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've received Christ, we need to also freely give. Amen. We receive salvation, we need to be conveyors of that salvation. Amen. Does Pastor Ed ever tell any jokes? Did you hear about the man who was addicted to brake fluid? He said he could stop anytime. All right, you over in Ephesians. We better pray after that, right? So, Lord, help us today. Father, thank you for this time for your church to be together. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who's here to give utterance, to quicken the word, to give us revelation knowledge. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you were going to title this, I'd like to just call this The Gospel and Miracles. And this is a connection with you, with kingdom purpose, because, in Acts 1:8, Jesus said one of his last words to the disciples. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And you think about the four regions, the four targets, the four areas of influence: Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. I've seen this in different ways in the past, that, just in my time of studying Scripture. I kind of thought at one time it was a progressive order, that you'd first go to Jerusalem, then you would go to Judea, and then you'd go to Samaria, and then the uttermost part of the earth. So everybody kind of had to go through this progression. But that's not scriptural, because if it was, then the Apostle Paul was not biblical in his missionary journeys. Amen. He left Jerusalem, and he began to go to other areas and other regions. So I really believe this, that these four areas, the church can touch simultaneously. Not one person can be effectively engaged in all four of these areas, right? Not one person, because we're not God, right? We're human, but we can be a part of a church that is. A church that's connected to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. If I could, we're talking about missions, but I want to talk to you about your mission. Amen? Because as we all do mission, we'll get the work done. Amen? Missions-minded church. It's good to be thinking of the uttermost part of the earth, because it makes you more effective here. Amen? C.T. Studd said it this way. He said, the light that shines the farthest, shines the brightest at home. So if you're effective in a long-range reach, that means that your foundation, your base is strong. That means the church is strong. Amen? So I'm interested in you being strong. Amen? You doing your Jerusalem well, your Judea. You know, Jerusalem would be Door County. It'd be right here. Judea is our nation. Samaria is peoples who are different. Jews didn't like Samaritans. And it represents, too, a reach to people that we may feel prejudice. There's this a lot of talk about, critical race theory now. And, how it brings up guilt from the past. How unbiblical is that, right? How ungodly is that? But you know what? In the body of Christ, there's no racism. God's the creator of race. 17,000 people groups, race. And you look in Revelation 7, 9, every tribe, kindred, and tongue, every people will be around the throne of God, a great crowd of witnesses that no one can number. And we're going to be there with them. There's going to be people that look a lot different than us. We need to be good at reaching people who are different and loving them. It's so easy to just hang out with the people that are just like us. And if we're not careful, that's what church can be. Everybody just kind of thinks, you know, we're all kind of the same. But churches, we need to be thinking about people that are culturally different. Amen? That's why missions is so important, because it gets us thinking beyond our familiarity to other peoples. I love missions. It changed my life. But I realize this, you know what, if I could get comfortable, if I'm not stirred up in these things, I could slip back into just wanting kind of an idea of us four and no more, right? That's in our humanness. But the Spirit of God compels us to look beyond ourselves, to go beyond what is comfortable to us, and to love people that are different than us. Amen? Okay, keep going, Scott. Keep going. All right. So Ephesians 1, 17. What I want to talk about is some legs that hold up the gospel. The first one is this, revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge of the gospel. Let me say it this way. You cannot figure God out in your own intellect, your own ability. You need God's help. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. And so the Apostle Paul prayed for the church, and he said, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." So here, this knowledge is brought by the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Everybody say power. To us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We're not going to tap into the power of God without revelation knowledge. We must have revelation knowledge, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. One person said this. He said, you know, that the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." So the power of God has to be seen spiritually, has to be revealed spiritually. Amen? God wants us to walk in that. The Holy Spirit is here to help us reveal how we can access that through believing. He said, you know, this power is towards us who believe. And so, you know, what good is that power unless we have access to it? So what it means to access that through belief, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to access this power that we need. And so the gospel, when we're sharing the gospel, we're sharing the power of God. And Mark Hankin said it like he said this in his studying. He said that one person said that the power of God, it took more power to raise Jesus from the dead than it took in creation. Because the power of sin and darkness and Satan and the effects of the fall had to be reversed. And it took more power to raise Christ from the dead than it took in all creation. Isn't that something? And that power is what you can have when you believe. Amen? So, also, something else, another leg of the gospel is this. It's the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Do you know, the death, burial, and the resurrection are central to the gospel. It's the centerpiece of the testaments, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The centerpiece is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That means that if you're going to church and you're not hearing the death, burial, and the resurrection, then what church are you in? Amen. What gospel are you hearing? And let me tell you, you can be in some places where they don't preach it. If you don't have the death, burial, and the resurrection, you do not have the gospel. It's central. In fact, Paul and Peter in the book of Acts, in all of their sermons, they talk about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. So, we need to be centered on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? I mean, what Pastor did with the bread and the cup today, that's central. That's our foundation. That's our faith, is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And so, you know, if we're sharing with people, you know, there's friendship evangelism. Has anybody heard of friendship evangelism? Can I tell you something? You're not somebody's savior through your friendship. At some point in time, they need to hear about the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And you'll be a friend if you tell them. Amen? So, let's look over at 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to give you some scriptures. You like the Bible, don't you? So 1 Corinthians 15 says, Paul said this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Amen? Listen, we need to be oriented, centered around the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And then when we share Christ, that needs to be central. Just get it out. Just proclaim it. Amen. Sometimes the people that we're talking to, they may not have the context or the background or even understand what you might be saying, but just say it. Yes. Just proclaim it. Jesus loves you. He died. He was buried. He was risen again because God's plan to bring salvation to your life. You don't have to be polished with it. You don't have to be, you know, like Pastor Ed, where it just rolls off the tongue, right? I think he's a great minister. I heard his message about choosing not to fear. You got a good pastor here. That's a good teaching. And so, amen. Okay, the next leg that I want to talk about, I'm moving fast, okay? So the next one is that you need to know how faith is activated. The gospel is activated. And it's in Romans 10. Let's look at Romans 10. And the eighth verse, it says, "What saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, that is, and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." It says the 13th verse, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So here we see that there needs to be a preaching of the word. That preaching of the word will produce faith in the heart and a confession in the mouth. So that's how we live by faith, believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth. That's how we activate this power. Amen? The 17th verse says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And again, Romans 1:16, the Apostle Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Salvation there is this sozo, it's salvation, it's as of a fivefold meaning, and one footnote in Schofield's Bible, where the commentary is that salvation denotes the power to deliver, to heal, to preserve, to bring peace, soundness, and deliverance. So the gospel is connected with all these things. Whatever man needs, it's found in the gospel. Amen? So, you know, whatever information is needed to share with somebody, the very foundation of that is the salvation. Amen? It's the power of God. Amen? And then I want to just read one more scripture, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and then we'll close, okay? Sound good? So Acts, the third chapter. This is the account of Peter, and Peter is encouraging to me because Peter, you know, he messed up. You know, he got his pride got in the way, and he, you know, he wanted to do things his own way. He denied Christ. Yet then he began to walk in revelation knowledge, and things really changed for him. This is one of the first things that happened after he really stepped into revelation knowledge. And it's Acts 3. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, and asked alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes on him and John, and said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that what had happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them and the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob, and the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof ye are witnesses.'" Now, notice this. He talked about the death and the resurrection. And his name and faith in his name has made this man strong, who ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." What a story. Think about Peter walking into the temple to pray, in the hour to pray. And you could see the scene where they carried this guy every day to beg. And we've seen this in other countries where there are people begging on the side of the road. And for me, you know, sometimes when you don't have a way to help somebody, like, you don't even want to make eye contact. You know, it's like, man. You know, because if you see him, you want to do something. And yet this guy, here he is. This is how he made money. This was his health care. And so he's asking alms of people. And he sees Peter and John. He says, "Alms, alms." And then he must have looked away, because Peter at that point looks over and he's not looking at him. But Peter fastened his eyes on him. And he said, "Look on us." So this man goes, okay, he's going to give me something. So he looks. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, we hear this story. I sang it as a kid in children's church. He lifted him up. Now, we need to understand, he had never walked before. No ligaments, no muscles. There's no coordination. They were dead limbs. But when he raised him up, immediately, not only could he stand. He could hold his balance. It was a miracle. Things were taking place in his body. He had only dreamed about being up on his feet. Now he's up. Can you imagine that? And then not only could he stand, he could walk. Don't you think it wasn't one of those, glory, hallelujah, praise the Lord, look at this. No, don't you know he was going crazy, don't you think? Woo-hoo-hoo! And he started shouting. He started walking. He went into the temple with him. He could run. He could leap. He was jumping up and down. And don't you know, it was a big commotion. Everybody looked, and they went, who is that? That is that guy that was impotent in his feet. I gave him money today. What's he doing? I saw him for the last 15 years. He's walking around. They come running, and then he's hanging on to these two guys. They did it. They did it. Who are these guys? What did they do? What did they say? There was a perfect platform to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because of the power of God. The death, burial, and resurrection was preached. And in the fourth chapter, it says that 5,000 men believed in Jesus that day. I would say that was a pretty good day. Amen? So a few years ago, I had this friend in Milwaukee, he's a pastor. He told me, he said, I have 80% more healings out on the street than we do in church. And, you know, just going up to people and saying, hey, you know what, this is my name, and can I pray? You got something wrong with you? Is there pain in your body? Can I just pray for you? And people, sure. Most people are open to that. And God will touch them. And then there's a platform to share the gospel. So I said, hey, would you take me out with you to this pastor? And he goes, sure, let's meet down at the beach of Milwaukee. Did you know Milwaukee has a beach? And so I didn't realize that it was such a big deal. There were so many people there, swimsuits and all that, you know. And here he comes, and he's an older guy. He was in his beach attire of a slacks and dress shoes, you know. And he's walking down there with me, and I thought, man, couldn't he have wore some shorts or something? And we really stuck out. And we started praying for people and started seeing some things happen. And I was like, wow, this is. And so there were four black kids. Young men that were just looked like they were Division I football players or something, you know, they're really. And so we walked up to them. And as we walked up, they looked at us like, what are you doing walking up to us? And so my friend, my pastor, said, well, we're a couple of ministers here in town. And we're just praying for people that might have pain in their body. Do you have pain in your body? And there's a big kid. It's like a tight end. This is a big kid. He was standing there, and his friend, a little guy, pushed him and said, you got pain in your knees. And so my friend, he said, really, you got pain in your knees? He said, yeah, I got pain. And he goes, which one? He goes, both of them. And he says, well, can we pray for you? And he goes, sure. He goes, well, I'm going to have my friend pray for you. And he's talking about me. And he told me, he says, you don't have to pray a long prayer. So I just reached down, touched his kneecaps, and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And this young man, he starts doing deep knee bends. So he starts going, he's going like this. And then it got funny, because every time he came up, he went, oh, 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 like this. And they started laughing, his friends, you know, the three friends he was with, they started laughing. He goes, no, guys, my knees are completely better. He goes, I have no pain. And so he's over here doing this. He's still going up and down. Well, his friend that pushed him, he said, well, my knee hurts. So he said, can we pray? He said, well, we'll pray for you. And, you know, we prayed for him. His knees got better. And so this guy still, you know, can't believe this. He looked at me like this. He looked at me, do you got some powers like this? That was the same kind of thing here in, you know, Acts 3. And my pastor friend, he said, no, you know what? It's Jesus that healed you. And he said, have you ever heard about being born again? And he said, yes, I have. And he said something, it wasn't right. And what I noticed in that moment was four young men down on the beach in Milwaukee with swimming suits, music rock, and all kinds of stuff going on all around. They were totally locked in as my friend shared the gospel with them. They were not looking around. They were locked in. And they all prayed and received Jesus as their Lord right out there. Praise God. The gospel is power. Yes. Amen? Yes. The gospel on your lips is power. Yes. It doesn't have to come through a vessel that's been educated. Amen? Not the pastor. No, the gospel on your lips. But you need to have revelation knowledge. Pray that prayer in Ephesians. Ask God to give you revelation knowledge. Amen? Have faith in the power. Have faith in the process, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth. Proclaim the gospel. Be a part of a church that's discipling, but don't forget to proclaim. Amen? And you know what? Somebody's going to listen to you that's not going to listen to Pastor Ed, because God will set it up. They'll believe your words. They'll be open to your words because you're who you are. And if it comes from you, it's not that it's your ability, your education that does it. It's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. So as we close, and I'm trying to go as fast as I can. Amen. Does everybody still love me? Okay. I just want to do this, if this is okay, Pastor. Has anybody got pain in your body here today? Would you just raise your hand? Okay. We have a number of hands. The people who raise your hands, would you go ahead and stand to your feet? Would you please? Okay, so around the room, there are people who are standing. Okay? Now the rest of us who are believers, amen? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? So those of you who are around, I want everybody, look, make sure that everybody sees who's standing, okay? If you have to walk across the room to be with somebody, but I want you to go to them, lay your hands on them, and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen? We don't have to take a long time to do this. But exercise your faith in the name of Jesus, in the power, in the blood of Jesus. You are a believer. You're the body of Christ. Go ahead and pray for them right now. Just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. This, by the stripes of Jesus, we release our faith right now in the name of Jesus. By faith in the name of Jesus. And that name makes people perfect and sound in this time, in this very moment. Faith and power that is released in the name of Jesus. We call them healed now. Just receive it. If you stood up, just say, I receive it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Last week we prayed for people, or there was the church prayed, the people around this lady prayed. She had an infection from a hip replacement. For years she had issues. She started walking around without any pain. She started shouting, praising God. Amen. So listen, aren't you thankful for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus through his death, burial, and resurrection? Now, let's do it. Let's be people of the gospel. Amen. If we're people of the gospel, he will use us to the ends of the earth. Amen. Pastor Ed, thank you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. That was so good. Just getting stirred up again on the gospel is the power of God. I'll tell you, there's just so many things. You know, a lot of times, you know, really in the world we live in and all the stuff that, you know, the correctness and all the different philosophies and the things that are big in the world's mind, is this okay? Is that okay? We're here as the church to change the narrative. Jesus came. He died. He rose again. He loves you. We're not arguing the gospel. We're proclaiming the gospel. What do you do with that? That's our job. And the Holy Spirit just takes hold of that. There's just power in that. No matter who you are, the power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged this morning. You have that power in your heart, on your lips, as you declare that simple truth. It is still the answer. It is still the truth. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Scott, Sue, Megan. We're so glad you guys are here with us this morning, and we're just encouraged, refreshed.